You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today we're going to be talking about, well, I was going to say we were going to talk about reverse engineering until I discovered that the topic I was expecting from my guest is actually a completely different topic. So you may have heard on this program before, if you've ever listened to it, I hope you have, us talking a little bit about narrowing the focus of marketing, niching, and getting very specific on who your business serves. Well, we're going to talk about the implications and an extension of that under the guise of reverse engineering, a phrase that was introduced to me, in this context at least, by today's guest, Dan Peterson, who is joining me from, I love how you guys refer to it as Chicagoland, which could suggest that you're either in Chicago proper or nearby. So, Dan, welcome.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on. So, yeah, Chicagoland covers all the suburbs. That's how we define that. So
that, you know, I've learned that in different metro areas around the world. I love up in Toronto, they call it the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. When I was growing up in New York, it was the, you know, Metro New York. Or New York Metro. All right. Well, regardless of where you are, you and I think, agree very much on this concept that you wanted to share, which you're calling reverse engineering. And I told you I was surprised by that phrase, and I had a different definition, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the conversation. But why don't you start by talking a little bit about the work you do with clients and how this concept of reverse engineering comes into play, particularly, you know, around the focus that I was referring to a moment ago, niching or narrowing within marketing.
Absolutely. So just for your listeners' sake, a little background for context purposes. So I own and founded an agency called FlipSwitch, which is a digital agency, about 11 years ago as of this recording here, 2012. So the focus of my company is to help small to mid-sized businesses, because I come from that background. Whole families, entrepreneurs, everybody owned different types of businesses. And I grew up in that mindset and seeing the struggles and all the things. So when I got older and was in my 30s, I thought, you know what, there's a really good opportunity to start an agency that helps business owners from a small micro level. And that's what we do. So as it relates to this topic that we're going to talk about here of reverse engineering, it really comes down to being able to understand your customer base and utilize all of the digital aspects of marketing now that weren't available just, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you know, when it was newspapers and print and all of that. So so utilizing social media and other avenues from a marketing standpoint, but looking at it through the lens of your customer and reverse engineering it from there. So I don't know if you want to jump into some of the ways that we do that or how far you want to take that.
I want to just focus on this point that you just made, because I think it's kind of important for businesses that have been around for a long time, mm-hmm. right? They have developed habits around or an understanding around marketing that may relate to the way things used to be. Right. And correct. So you're talking about, you know, local newspaper or the local radio or the yellow pages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that you know, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, like I did, there were still at that point three television networks. And there was a fourth one that, you know, came about at some point while I was in my teens. And right. So everybody got their information from the same place. And obviously times are different now. And right. So we have those business owners. Then we have the set of business owners who grew up where there's so many choices, and they probably have personal preferences for the ones that they tend to use, particularly online, right? So the social channels, and that may or may not be a good fit for how they're marketing. So I think that's sort of the context for what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So yes, exactly. So to your point of a lot of the older generation, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, that are business owners that grew up, like you said, in maybe the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they didn't have this capability that we have now to reverse engineer. And so what we do for our clients and what I recommend your listeners to do is to look at their customer base and say, all right, not only what channels are they on, but how can we reach them in a very niche way, a very specific targeted way, and work our way backwards to the top of the funnel or the front end of the sales process. So for example, here's a good example. We have an event space company and they have certain dates that they want to promote to fill for weddings and things like that. So instead of just pushing out a big top of, you know, top level marketing push saying, hey, we're a wedding company. This is what we do. You know, you book our event space and so on and so forth. What we did is we drilled down and said, who is your exact customer from a very tiny specific level? I'm saying like 27 to 32 year old women who live within 5 miles or 10 miles of the business that are looking for a wedding event venue, and they need it at certain times of year and so on and so forth. And then utilizing the capabilities of like Facebook and Instagram to go in and create a very specific targeted ad that drives that process. And that's something that we didn't have the capability to do years ago, but it's something now that a lot of businesses are not doing. They're looking at it still from the ad space of newspapers, yellow pages, like you said, where they're putting out an ad, letting it ride, not worrying about where it lands, who sees it. It's more of just a blanket ad. Whereas nowadays we can look at it all the way to the end point and say, here's exactly who the kind of customer is that we have that comes into our store or our business, and work our way backwards through the pipeline to the front so that the creative, here's the key, the creative part of the ad or the post or whatever you're doing from a marketing standpoint, even if it's a flyer and you're doing postal, you know, that ad or that flyer, whatever it is, has the ultimate goal in mind. And it's not a blanket ad. It's not designed to reach maybe 50,000 people. It might only reach 5,000 people, but those 5,000 are exactly the type of customer that you want to get in your business. So it's looking at it through a different perspective and working your way backwards so that the creative comes last, not first, if that makes sense.
Yeah, when you talk about creative and talk about having the goal in mind, it you know, brings up a point that I think we try to talk about a lot here, which is the nature of that ad or that content is direct response rather than branding. And that is to say, here's a thing that we have, here's who you are, here's who we are, and here's, you know, if you see the fit that we do, here's what to do next. That's right. Probably the most poorly worded description of direct response I've ever
I didn't known. Think it was too
but,
bad.
But you get the point, right? As opposed to, hey, we're an event venue. Here's our address.
Right.
Pretty pictures, right?
Yeah.
And so I think if you can elaborate a little bit on this concept of what that message is and how that's a critical piece, obviously, of the who you're targeting and what you say and I guess where you're actually putting that message,
right?
That'll help, I think, broaden this concept a little bit more for some of our listeners.
Sure. So let's say that I'm trying to target, I'll just keep that same example going here. Let's say I'm trying to target that same bride who's trying to book this wedding. The creative in understanding her age needs to be, to your point, specific to the platform as well. So if she's 27, 28 years old, and that's who I'm wanting to target, she's likely on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok more than she's on Facebook and LinkedIn and things like that, right? So, and it also depends on the location that you're at. Like, we're in a metro area here, Chicagoland. It has a younger feel to it as far as marketing goes. Whereas if you go to rural areas, I'm not using this negatively, they're just a little more behind in the progress of technology. So if you go to the South, the Southern states, they're still very much heavy on Facebook more than they might be on TikTok. You go to Chicago, it's TikTok more than Facebook for certain demographics. So understanding that demographic and where they're going to be is key. And then creating specific different types of content to reach different people. And this is where it went wrong for so many years. And a lot of people are still getting it wrong. I would say most people are still creating one piece of content, one ad, one graphic, whatever you want to call it, that goes for all their ads. Even if they specify one ad for 20, 25 year olds, one ad for 30 to 35 year olds, it's the same graphic, the same creative, and it shouldn't be. You should be creating something that catches the attention of the younger age for this message, message A, we'll call it. Maybe the next decade, 30 to 40 year olds are in the B group, and you've got that as a different graphic, a different piece of content. And maybe that is the Instagram, Facebook group. And then you've got group C, and that's a different type of piece of creative. And that's for TikTok, because TikTok has a more fun, kind of lighthearted feel to it than Facebook would have. So it's knowing where your audience is and creating the content to hit them where they're at, instead of just throwing out one piece of content that blankets everybody and hoping something sticks. And it's something that not everybody, but 80% of businesses are probably getting wrong from the experience that we see anyway.
So, okay, you gave some examples of segmenting the audience into different, you know, age groups in that example. But I'm not totally clear if we're talking about paid content that is advertising on these platforms or organic content. But either way, I'm going to assume that your advice as a marketer isn't to just create that one piece that goes out there, but probably to see what's working even within those segments, regardless of whether it's organic or paid. And I wonder if you can dig into that that idea a little bit more.
Sure. So we live in a world of data. We have the capability, and every business owner has the same capability, to go in and see how every piece of content that they put out performs, whether it's organic or paid. Whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, it doesn't matter. You can see each one and know exactly what's working and what's not. And part of this reverse engineering process is looking at the last, let's say, year's worth of posts, seeing the top 10% of what's working, discarding the 90% that's not, doubling down on the 10% that does, and creating content that looks and feels more like that, because obviously it's working. And then rinsing and repeating that process over and over. But it doesn't matter if it's organic or paid. In fact, here's a great strategy for your listeners. They should be looking at their data on a regular basis. And when they find a piece of content that has done really, really well, that's the one that they want to boost or run an ad that is either that exact post boosted or a very similar ad to it, because it's obviously worked with the audience and with the algorithms. What happens, though, is everybody has the backwards idea of this, and they take the worst piece of content performance-wise and they want to pour gas on the fire and get that piece to elevate and move up and up and up as far as reach and engagement goes. In all reality, the best thing you can do, regardless of the piece of content that you put out, is to find the one that's doing the best organically and boost that one if you're going to boost one. It's not to take the worst and try to force it to do better. To answer your question, whether it's organic or paid, the content strategy is the same. You're still producing content at a macro level for the audience based on the platform they're on. So you have to know who's using Facebook versus Instagram, who's using TikTok versus Facebook, and then breaking it down and creating more content. And unfortunately, a lot of business owners don't have the time or knowledge necessarily or desire to spend the time it takes to put out, you know, 3 to 5 or even more, you know, 6 or 8 pieces of content per day. They're lucky if they do that in a month in most cases. So that's where the creative is so important. And that's why we talk about reverse engineering, so that you're maximizing your time. You're not wasting it just by creating lots and lots of content. You're creating specific content that, yes, it is lots and lots, but it's specific and it works a lot better.
When you're testing, I guess there's two different ways to ask this question, because we've been talking about how a business might take these concepts that we're talking about and apply them themselves. Mm-hmm. But obviously you're in the business of doing this on behalf of businesses who are your clients. And I imagine that a service provider is going to dig in a lot deeper and be a lot more detailed. So I want to take this next question from the vantage point of the work that you and your team does, which is probably going to be a lot more detailed than an average business owner has time or capability to do.
Possibly.
So here's the question. It's, I know that, you know, I have a winning organic piece of content out there. Mm-hmm. And I now want to boost it or increase the exposure of it. So I turn that into an ad. Mm-hmm. When I want to test the variations of that ad, What am I testing? How subtle are the differences? How dramatically, broad are the differences? Can you sort of talk about that? Because there's a lot that could be done there. And I'm curious how you approach that.
Sure. So two ways. One is from a technical standpoint. Facebook, for example, gives you the A-B option. They will run variations of your ad for you, and they will test it against different market segments and different demographics and so on and so forth. From a creative standpoint, which would be more probably what the business owner is going to be doing, would be to look at it literally down to size. Here's a good example. For Instagram, you're trying to stop the scroll. You're trying to get people to take extra time on your post. And if you use a narrow horizontal piece of content versus a taller, so to speak, portrait piece of content, it is easy to swipe past it. The taller piece takes up the whole screen on the phone almost. So there's an extra half a second of looking at that that catches people's attention. So it is at a micro level, to your point, it's so important to look and compare even the size of the image you use, the color scheme. Branding, you mentioned a minute ago, is so important in all of this. People know, like when they're on Flip Switches pages, they know that things are going to be a lot of orange, a lot of blue. It's going to come down to that. They can tell our content is organically created and it's not me sharing a meme that comes from, just a meme generator type of thing. It's very much specific. That same kind of mindset of branding and not to beat this dead horse of reverse engineering, but looking at it like, hey, what's the audience expect of my brand? You would never see Nike do stuff without the Nike swoosh on it, or McDonald's do something without the golden arches. So small business owners can take that same approach and look at things from what does the audience expect? Where are they spending their time? And what does that creative aspect then need to look like? And it does come down to the micro level. It's small little nuanced things that a lot of business owners, I think, take for granted. For example, text, fonts, like fonts on a graphic. I don't know how many times I look at something and I can't read it. It's got some fancy font and the T's, I saw it today, actually, as we're just talking about this, the T's look like J's. So it's like, instead of tour the facility, it's jour the facility. And it was and there was three T's. So it was whatever, looked like three J's. And I'm like, just don't use those types of fonts. And it's little stupid stuff like that that makes a big difference on how ads will perform or any content will perform. People aren't going to share stuff that looks bad. They're not going to share stuff that doesn't have value. That's another whole conversation, providing value as a strategy versus trying to always sell your wares and sell your goods. It's give, and then ask. So there's so much that goes into the content standpoint that a business owner should be looking at, which, to your point earlier, is why we exist, I guess.
And I would say that, there are a bunch of examples you just gave of, value versus selling. And here's the answer to all of this when it comes to marketing, I believe. Mm-hmm. As marketers, we shouldn't know exactly what the answer is, but we should know that the path to getting the answer is testing, paying attention to the data, and then acting on what we learn.
That's it. And you just hit it on the head right there. That's exactly right. And I'll tell your listeners, it's not as difficult as people think to go in and look at data. Once you've done it once, and so FlipSwitch has two sides to our business, the side that you mentioned where we do it for the client, and then a whole nother side where we just do coaching and we give you a blueprint and you execute it. And then the next month we review it and so on and so forth. That is actually taking off faster than anything right now, because business owners want to know how to do it. They want their staff to know how to do it. But there's so many questions and so much stuff. So it's not, I don't want your listeners thinking like this is all high level conversation and it's so difficult to do. But if you have the time and the desire to learn it, then you can certainly do that in a fairly short amount of time. Then once you go in, you can know what you're talking about. You can see your data. You can tell what's working and what's not. And that is why we push that whole concept of reverse engineering so hard, because you can't look at it through the, it's like driving a car. You can't look through the windshield and know where you've been. You have to look backwards to tell where you've been. And that's what marketing is, to your exact concept that you just said. It's looking at what's working from a data standpoint, looking backwards, what worked, what didn't, and then moving forward with those exact concepts or tactics.
I said at the top of this show that I was expecting a different conversation around the phrase reverse engineering. And I told you before we hit record that what I was thinking you meant by it was looking at what others are doing, competition, for example, or even somebody in a completely different industry, reverse engineering that, and then applying it to one's own business. And there's some pros and cons to this approach. In our world, the marketing world, there's a company called ClickFunnels that has built an entire community universe around this concept of funnel hacking, which is going and finding funnels that seem to be working and making money, reverse engineering what they do, and then applying that structure to your own funnel. In the copywriting world, there's templates, right? Take the framework of a sales letter or an ad and pull out certain words and put in different words, and poof, you have your own version of it. Right. And there's arguments on both sides of whether these are good or bad approaches, but that is very much what I was expecting. And you said when I told you this before, well, there is an aspect of that as well to
sure.
the work that you're doing with clients. And so I wonder if you can speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we recommend, there's some simple ways to do this, and I want to make sure that your listeners get some stuff that they can go apply. So it's not just all high level conversation either. But one of the things that we do for our clients that your clients should do, or your listeners, is look at their general industry online. A great way to do this is to go on Instagram and do this. Regardless of your industry, if you think your audience is on Instagram or not, it doesn't matter. Go on Instagram and look at the top 30 or 40 hashtags related to keywords and key things about your business, whatever that may be. If you're in the law industry, legal industry, go in there and take the top 10, 20, 30 keywords that you think are for your brand and your industry and look those up from a hashtag standpoint. Then you can go in and see two different things. You can see the top posts under that hash that have used that hashtag, and you can see the recent posts that have used that hashtag. I recommend starting with the top posts and seeing who's using this. Why are they using it? What value are they deriving from it? How are they able to use that in their content to drive results, potentially search results, if nothing else, and then figuring out a way to work that into your content. So there's that old saying, you can't, don't reinvent the wheel, I guess is one way to put it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel in a lot of ways in marketing. You can look at what other people have done that works and pull ideas from that. And there's nothing wrong with that. The negative side, and what you kind of alluded to a minute ago, is there's a thing called imposter syndrome on social media, where people feel like if they use anybody else's ideas or concepts or topics even, that they are, being an imposter and just not being genuine or authentic or new and fresh. And while that does carry some weight sometimes, it's not true a lot of the times. It's something that we've fabricated in our own minds that, somebody's going to see my post and think it looks just like David's post or whatever. When in reality, that the chances of that are slim to none at best. And you could be using those ideas for your own benefit. So that's one example of reverse engineering, just using Instagram.
So, you talked about aggregating that information. So you're not necessarily reverse engineering one person's or one business's specific activity. But I heard in there the word, reverse engineering or leveraging the information that you gather about what's working or what's successful. Right. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you identify success versus something that isn't necessarily successful or doesn't give clues to its level of success.
So I think this will answer that. So there's a couple things that you can look at. Obviously, reach and engagement are two main metrics that we use in the marketing world, especially with social media. How many people have been reached by a post and how many people have acted on it or taken some, liked, clicked, commented, shared, whatever. So let's go back to this Instagram example, because it's the easiest way to sort this type of stuff on a social media channel. Go in there, you find the top legal jargon, whatever, just to use that same example, you find the top posts. What is it about this top post that seems to be doing the best? Is it the graphic potentially? Like, does it have a certain look and feel to it that's better than others? Is it the actual hashtags themselves? And the certainly it's probably part of the copy, you know, the caption that is used on there, because the first sentence of the caption has to be intriguing to get you to pay attention. If it's not eye-catching or has some kind of value or something that makes you stop scrolling and read it, then it's not going to work anyway. So it's taking little bits and pieces from these. When you look at it, it's like, all right, that looks good. Sounds good. I like the caption. The hashtags are on point with what we're doing. So that could be one thing. You also have to look at, was it promoted or not? So if you're just because a piece of content is doing well, at, you know, from the viewership standpoint, when you're looking at this, you don't know if it actually performed well as much as maybe somebody put $5,000 behind that post to get it to perform well. So we don't see, when you're doing this kind of research, you don't see the end result, right? You don't know if that law firm, for example, that put that ad out, are they really getting business from it, or did it just reach 500,000 people because they paid to make it reach that many people? So you kind of have to be careful there too. But all things considered, looking at it from a design standpoint, the captions and all the stuff I just mentioned is one good way to compare. And then at the same time, looking at what not to do. You know, too many times people talk about what to do, but looking at what's not, what do you not want to make sure you're, sorry, let me rephrase that. What do you want to make sure you're not doing as a brand? Because I see, for example, marketing companies like mine all the time that put out content that to me is insulting. Like, some of it talks down to the customer a lot, which really aggravates me. Some of it is off-putting from a caption standpoint. Like, you can't read it. It doesn't flow. It's hard to read. Just so many different things that I don't want to do as a brand. So that's another whole conversation where you can look. And I recommend people, this is a thing we do, but I'd recommend your listeners go, after they listen to this, go on Instagram, look these things up, and read 10, 20, 30 different posts a day that are in your industry to see what is going on out there, so that you can have the knowledge to reverse engineer some of this and see what your competitors or other people are doing. But if you don't spend the time to do it, it'll never work. You can't look at two posts.
Yeah. I think one of the arguments against this, but you know, it takes an informed mind to look at this stuff and then say, okay, what can I use this to teach me? And right. So we were talking earlier about the difference between direct response copy that's going to move somebody to take a specific action. And if you were to look at, you know, these Instagram posts and see tons of engagement and activity, maybe dig to the next level and look at it and say, well, what kind of engagement is it getting? Is it getting people who are saying, yes, I'm a customer of this business and they're awesome and you should go too, and here's where to go, and that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Or is it like, love this photo, cute, you know, beautiful cake, whatever, you know, and right. And therefore, is it advancing the sale in some, or the relationship in some respect? And yeah. I imagine that there's some additional consideration that would be advised to use this information that we're developing by witnessing what others are doing out there and saying, all right, is this actually useful for me or not? And how?
Right. Well, yeah, there's so much to unpack there. So yes, 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 and yes. You have to look at it and say, it's kind of like what I mentioned a minute ago. Is it a paid ad or not? It's kind of the same thing with this. Like, you're looking at the content, you're looking at the comments and all the stuff. Sure, if it's got 500 comments, awesome. But if those comments are half bots, and they're, the other half are people that are just leaving one word kind of things, then maybe that's not really what you want to do. It's not what's performing well. They probably have done a number of things as a brand. They could have bought followers, which causes that bot response a lot of times. So maybe that's why their page looks so big, or their posts look to be doing so well, because they've got bots and foreigners and other people doing, you know, just commenting and so on, which we see a lot of. That's a common thing. But the other thing that I recommend to that point is looking for looking at the overall content approach from that brand. So let's say you find a company that's doing, like, you're like, man, these guys are killing it. I really like what they're doing. I want to kind of go that route. Okay, great. Looking at their overall page, look at everything they're putting out, not just one post, so that you get a big picture, because you can then tell if they are doing a lot of value-driven content before they ask for the sale, or if is every post a call to action wanting you to click to take the next step. What we recommend is the former. It's give, put out as much value as you can, teach people as much as you can about your business. Regardless of what industry you're in, there's ways that you should be telling people how to do something, why they're doing it, what to do, whether it's legal advice, whether, you know, anything, whatever, financial stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you can do before you get to that post that's, hey, by the way, if you click here, we can answer this question more specifically for you, or we can get you on our newsletter where it might, you know, lead to the next step in the funnel. But everybody has that sales mindset as a business owner, because that's what we got to make money. But you have to put that on pause and look at it from a value-driven perspective before you look from a sales perspective.
So there's a lot deeper that we can go in these conversations, and so many things that I think we each said that that the other person wanted to push back on. I go, whoa, but from this perspective, here's what I would suggest. You have a business that has two sizes, you said earlier. You provide both services as well as guidance and coaching. How can folks who want to go a little bit deeper with you learn more about the work that you do and how you might be able to support them?
Sure. So find us as Flip Switch Social Media, anywhere you want, on social, all the social channels, website, everything else. It's Flip Switch like you flip a light switch. But I will say this, I'll throw this offer out there. If anybody's listening to this and wants some of that coaching, the initial consultation, the initial coaching session, it'd be a full 1 hour coaching session we will do for free, just because you're a listener of this show. So that is not a sales gimmick. That is from the heart. I genuinely built Flip Switch to help small business owners or any size business owner. And we just really, really want to continue to give and to help. So like I said, it's not a gimmick. If anybody wants that free hour of coaching, just as a listener of your show, we would be happy to do that. No strings attached, no have to buy 6 months, none of that kind of stuff. It's just genuinely helping.
That's awesome. And so folks should reach out via the website to get more.
Yes, you can contact us through flipswitchsocialmedia.com or message us on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else you find us. I'm also on LinkedIn, of course, at Dan Peterson Official. You can look for my personal pink logo, and you'll know it's me. And I'd be happy to have conversations with you on there as well.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, Dan Peterson, thank you so very much. This has been insightful, and I really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through two different variations of reverse engineering.
Thanks a lot, David. It's a pleasure being on.
Folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, please share it with them. In the meantime, my name is David Baer, and I'll see you on the next episode of More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.